stuff. How many have been blessed so far tonight? I'm actually going to share what the scripture Malachi shared tonight. It's actually in our YouVersion app. It's the scripture of the day, and it's Proverbs 12:25. It says, "Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers up a person." Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. And what Pastor Ryan was referring to is Malachi took the first part, worry weighs a person down. And what I was thinking is you can't worry and worship at the same time, right? We all come in here and we all have worries. We all have things that are on our mind daily life. And the moment you take your attention off of your worries and you place them in worship, you're giving them to God. Worry weighs a person down, but when you worship, it will lift you up because you're handing them to God. You're saying, God, I give it to you. And then that encouraging word cheers a person up. You know, I thought, I heard Pastor Ryan say the men had a great night. Sam said that Ladies of Light did. We at PJ&J, we had a phenomenal night last night as well, all because of an encouraging word. An encouraging word. And sometimes, how many of you know, sometimes you're the encourager, and sometimes you're the encouragee, right? Sometimes you're with people and you're just encouraging them. Pastor Marty's so good at being the encourager, but we've all heard him say that there are times in his life that he needs encouragement as well. And so we want to be both, right? We want to be open to the fact that we need people to help us, but we also want to be ready to be encouraged at any moment. Because an encouraging word cheers a person up. And we've heard many encouraging words tonight. And I'm excited because we're going to hear another encouraging word from Brad. He's steady in the house of God. Him and Kelly are faithful. They're raising three beautiful kids. And will you give Brad a big hand as he comes tonight?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the house of the Lord. This is where my journey all began, right here. And I just want to thank you, family, for being here, and everybody that's online, thank you for joining. And just a reminder, the only reason I stand here today is because I met a man, and his name is Jesus, and he saved me, and he continues to transform me. And my sole purpose of sharing tonight is glorifying Jesus Christ. And I believe with sharing the scriptures, the stories, and some of my personal stories, the Lord can help someone see a little different and flip some internal scripts in their own lives. Let me pray. Father God, I stand here because of your Son, Jesus Christ. He changed me. He put me on a new path. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. Let me glorify you by standing here. Let the words that come out of my mouth glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. So I love this word, equanimity, mental calmness, composure, evenness of temper, especially in difficult situations. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space is the power to choose our response. It's our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Jesus says it like this in John 16:33. I have told you all these things that you may have peace in me here on earth. You will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Amen. So has anybody ever seen like a tug of war match where they have this rope and there's a team on one side and there's another team on the other side and they're all tugging the rope back and forth, and typically in the middle there's like this mud pit? Or have you been raising children and you have a lot of children and there's one little toy in the house and they're all fighting over the toy? and back and forth and back and forth. The match continues until someone wins. What about life's challenges? Have you ever felt that pulling when life throws things at you? You get pulled back and forth, back and forth. What about the internal battles, the challenge within the mind? Have you ever done something that is not the best for you over and over again and ask yourself, why? Have you ever had some negative or destructive thoughts over and over again, even though you didn't even want those thoughts? You fight against them, knowing they're not the best for you, and you ask yourself, why? Why did I do that? Why did I think that? But I have encouraging words for you, because if you've ever felt this way, you're not alone, and you are in great company. The title of my message is The Battle Within. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest salvation stories in the Bible, the writer of most of the New Testament, writes in Romans, verse 14 through 16, "The trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I'm all too human, slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." Moving down to verse 21 through 25, "I have discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another problem within me that wages war within my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am." This is the Apostle Paul. "Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is in the mind. I really wanted to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin." So here in this story, Paul identifies the struggle of the common man and woman. When I read this story, I identify Paul. He knows we can all feel trapped, confused, eager to do what is right, unable to follow through, an inward war and frustration. Paul knows well the battle and the journey of life, knowing life before salvation, knowing life in salvation, knowing the power of salvation, knowing the promise of eternity with God. But he also realizes his humanity and that there is a journey from salvation to eternity, and it's called life. I want to shift our focus to the Israelites. If you've ever read the story, it's quite a story, and I encourage you to read it. But they're the chosen people. God made a great promise to them in Exodus 6:6. "Therefore, say to the Lord," or the people of Israel, "I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression, and I will rescue you from the slavery in Egypt." The Israelites spent years and years in Egypt under bondage and slavery and suppressed by Pharaoh. I want to pick this up in Exodus 1. In verse 11, it says, "So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves." And in verse 13 and 14, "So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made them their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands." God saved the Israelites from the Egyptians, saved them from slavery, and in the process molded them into a great people. But there was a long journey they went on. The people wandered in the wilderness for years and years until they reached the land that God promised. I want to pick the story up in Numbers, Numbers 14, 1 through 4. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protesting against Moses and Aaron. If only we died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? They plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. So what happened is the Israelites' minds shifted. It shifted to what was and not what God had promised them. They forgot the cost. It wasn't freedom. It cost them their lives to slavery. And don't they remember when Moses tried to speak to them and they couldn't even lift their hearts to listen with their ears? In Exodus 6:9, so Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they refused to listen anymore. They had become so discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. They got stuck. They got stuck in the middle. They got stuck in that tug of war of life, spiritually, mentally, and physically stuck, battling within, focused too much on the great effort and what it would take to break through, knowing the process and the journey to get to the promised land. How many times and how quickly they forget about God, His promises, and want to go back. And as I read this story, I posed a question to myself. How often do I want to return? How often do I turn to the same thoughts, the same old thought patterns, a prisoner to my thoughts? How fast do I forget how good God has been to me? My mind shifts and wants to return, blinded to slavery by the feeling of comfort. And I've walked this walk with Jesus for 20 years, and I've discovered one of my greatest missions field is my mind. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters to what lies within us. Ephesians 6:17 reads, put on salvation as a helmet. While all parts are extremely important, the helmet of salvation protects our mind, the control center of our feelings, attitudes, emotions, choices. And what it does, if we don't put on that helmet, it keeps us from agreeing with the assaulting thoughts hurled at us by our enemies. Without activating this strong protection, we will allow our feelings and emotions to lead our attitudes and choices. We need to be aware when our hope is under attack. Reach for the salvation helmet and put it on. Put it on. Put it on every day. So Sunday, I was reviewing my notes, and I was sitting outside, and I was reading my notes, and in the backdrop of my computer, I was listening to some worship music, and I clicked over to it, and it was on YouTube. And if you watch it, go watch it. You'll fall to your knees and lift your hands to Jesus. But it was a video with Zach Williams, and he was going into Harding Prison, and he was doing a live concert. And in this particular song, they were singing, "No Longer a Slave." The band was singing to prisoners behind bars, behind barbed wire fences. See, the prisoners made choices and they made decisions that put them there. Their thoughts became their emotions, which became their actions. Their actions became their decisions, which became their results. Whether our thoughts are of God or not of God, the circle is the same. Thought, emotion, action, decision, result. And I had a time of self-examination. And I sat there watching this video. And I thought to myself, how many times have I done that to myself? Though not behind bars, how many times have I put myself in a mental prison with bad thought patterns, fear, reaching back because it was comfortable, reaching to what was because I wasn't leaning forward and walking in God's promise. For me personally, I must fight and I must do what is right, lining my life up with God, His Word, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. Even when my brain and my thoughts at times want to fight because it wants to be safe, comfortable, and operate in the past. I want to insert this. So why this is so important to me is because I watched it for over 30 years of my life with my mother. I was pre-exposed to this cycle. I love my mom. I'm glad that I experienced. I'm glad that what she gave me, because if she didn't birth me, I wouldn't be here today. And I use this story about my mom to glorify what Jesus can do, because I was talking to Kelly today and she says, she's in heaven with Grandpa and Grandma, and she's proud of you, Brad. But I was exposed to this cycle of destruction. It could have been minutes. It could have been hours. It could have been days. It could have been months. It could have been years. But she constantly circled back into in the destruction, and she went around and around and around for years, constantly going around and around and around for years. And I share that story because I have to fight every single day because of that pre-exposure to that. Yes, I have choices in life. Yes, I've been saved. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. But because of that exposure, because some of those things have stuck in my mind, I have to fight them every single day of my life. And in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, Brad. And my thoughts than your thoughts, Brad. My thoughts have to line up with God's truth. My emotions have to line up with God's plan. My actions have to be about God's work, because my results in my life must be God's will for my life. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4:8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one thing, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. The Bible says, take every thought captive, not be captive to your thoughts. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, I use this, the Passion Translation, because Pastor shared it on Sunday, and I thought, why not give it a try? We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that oppresses God and breaks through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. And this is where faith and hope comes in. We must operate out of faith and hope. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. There is no way to experience God's best for our life if we try to operate out of history or memory of the past. Your mind always seeks out to what is familiar because there is a level of comfort even when the familiar works against you. If we don't practice good thinking, we become a slave to our surroundings and wander in the wilderness and complain. Most people are operating out of past thoughts, memories, pain, and trauma. That's alive and real for this guy. And that's why I share the story. So when some good things come along and the thoughts from the past come along, they try to kill the ideas. They try to kill the dreams. They try to kill the breakthrough, just like the Israelites, and we start operating in fear. The past is gone forever. We have today. I have this moment. I actually don't even have tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. I don't have it. That's what I'm gonna wake up at 4. I'm going to do my devotionals. I actually don't have it. I have this moment right now. And I sure don't have the past. It is gone. I need to be operating out of faith. I need to be operating on hope. Because it's gone. The past is gone. It is a thief. And it tries to kill and steal my ability to dream and imagine. And the Israelites' vision and faith, it got a little blurry. Not only can we overcome our wilderness experience, we can shorten it by the way we respond. Whenever we can't control what happens around us, we must not fret about it. Instead, we need to control the only thing we can control, which is our response. When we can't control our circumstances, we can control our confession, attitude, and response. That's what it's been all night tonight with the worship music, with the pastors sharing. We confess the word of God. We worship even in the toughest times, like Malachi started off our prayer time. Confess, worship, bring in the attitude, bring in the spirit so we can respond. How we react in the spiritual wilderness will determine how long we will stay there. Israel's wilderness time was not supposed to be 40 years, but it was extended only because of their reaction to potential problems in the promised land. Complaining prolongs your spiritual wilderness. Confessing God's word shrinks it. I'm just going to be honest with you for a moment. This is not there. I've sat in those same seats. I've thought a lot of good thoughts, trust me. I've been with that guy a lot, with that guy a lot, with you guys a lot. I've spent a lot of alone time with these guys. They know my intimate parts. But I'm just being honest with you. I've sat in those thoughts before, or in those seats before, and I've thought negative thoughts before. I have, and I need to fight them. I have to fight them because I don't want to sit there when I'm in my 70s and be thinking the same thing and be in the same wilderness experience. I don't want to be there. I want to be living in God's dream, his visions for my life. They're right there. They're sitting there. My family is there. I could have ended the service in the beginning. My dreams are right in front of me. That's where I want to be living. Confess God's word, not our feelings. We must keep God's plan, his vision, his thoughts about continually on our lips. Vision is the ability to think or plan the future with imagination and wisdom. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18, where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when we follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss will fill your soul. Listen to this. Vision does not mean you have all the answers. It is the faith of seeing the things hoped for the evidence of what is not seen. So what do we do when we're in that middle? What do we do when we're in this small space called life? We flip the script. We allow God, the author, Jesus, the editor, to rewrite our manuscript and story. We start to see things a little different. There is moments in time. It may be a split second. It may be a minute, an hour, a day, a year, or a lifetime. But we have opportunities to choose. And when God opens the seas in our life, we must move forward and walk through. So we must take action. And I'm closing. But we must press on. The Apostle Paul reminds us of many things. But here's a few things that I must do. These are the things that give me life. Number one, I need to love God. And the second commandment is as great as the first, is to love people. And I need to pray every day in good times and in bad times. Pray to God with honesty, with intentions. But make sure our requests line up with His will. People, number one, spend time with Jesus. Invest time in great relationships. Books, number one, is the Word of God. Read the Word of God. It will change your life. And invest in other great books. Environments for me, church, the gym, work, connect groups. These all bring me life. Paul reminds us, and I'm closing, and he encouraged us not to get stuck in the middle, not to get stuck in the wilderness, not to get stuck in prisoner and be a prisoner of your thoughts, not to be stuck in the tug of war of life. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:12, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Jesus Christ first possessed me. And in Philippians 3:13, no, dear brother and sister, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. And Jesus spoke these words, and for me, it gave me a small glimpse of His humanity and His divine purpose with God. Father, if You're willing, please take the suffering away from me. But His divine purpose, yet, I want Your will to be done, not mine. I want God's will to be done in my life. I need to press on. I need to think good thoughts. I need to have vision, God's vision for my life, for my family's life. So as I close and pray, Let us all walk out our salvation story and transformation story with the mind of God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this evening. God, thank you for letting me get through some challenging words. Thank you for calming my spirit down. Thank you for your word that went forth. Thank you that your people heard your word. God, I just pray that one person can think a little different, can let you flip a script. God, help somebody today rewrite their story, rewrite the manuscript of their life. And God, I thank you for this night in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen.
Come on, give Brad a hand. Stay up here, Brad. How many of you love Brad? Just wave at him. I'm thankful for him as a brother. The song that I kept hearing when he was ministering, sometimes just songs come to my spirit. And if the Vineyard men would make your way up here, and this is the song I heard. Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. You feel it right now. I know you do. I've tried with all my might. I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting. A bag of bones. Just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. He told me that I was not alone. Come on, you sing it with me. Pick me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior. Heal my heart, change my name, forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. If you want to come up here, I really feel tonight there's a breakthrough anointing in this place where you've carried some things and you've walked in even a season of discouragement, depression. I even sense it. For someone that's at home tonight, come to the altar tonight. I want all the kids to come up here. I know this is your favorite song. I want you all to come up here with Dad. Come up with, that's it, Dana. Get up here. I'm going to wait another 10 seconds for you to come. Dad, I want you to come and pray.